Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't set on your locker.
It's Rep Game with RP3. Raymond Parts the Third.
One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rep Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Trying to double team out top. Ball deflected. Jones knocked it free. Waters picks it up. Ball. Fires a bullet underneath. Darius stays by his lonesome. Slams it through. 79-71. Defense smart drives. Gets to the basket. Shot won't go to the weak side. Put back slam by Cavell Bigby Williams. Makes it 81-75. Coach Will Wade immediately calls for the timeout to set the defense.
Good morning, Acadiana. I'm Raymond Parts III. This is Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. Give us a call today on the ARCO Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111. We got a jam-packed show for you today. We got four guests. We got RPOs with RP3. My rant of the week, and a Louisiana wrap-up. So, you can still give us a call. We'll try to squeeze you in if you got something good to say. Cody will take care of you there on the ones and twos, as always. But this is a big weekend for the LSU men's basketball team. No, they're not playing the number 5 ranked team in the country, as they were last Saturday when they upset Tennessee in overtime. But it's still a big weekend. Because if you've listened to Will Wade speak from last Saturday and then after the A&M game on Tuesday night, if you listened to Sheldon Mickles on this program earlier this week and our other guest, including Ron Higgins, this Alabama game is a tough game for this LSU men's basketball team. They have everything in front of them. They have the tiebreakers over both Tennessee and Kentucky. If they all finish with the same record, LSU would be crowned. They would be the top seed for the SEC tournament, and they would be the SEC regular season champion. And they're going to get some help because Tennessee and Kentucky play this Saturday against one another. So one of those teams is going to fall back. But on the surface, you look at Will Wade's team. Very talented, immensely talented, than the number 13 ranked team in the country. People are talking about this team making a run in the NCAA tournament. But Alabama is no joke. Avery Johnson is a hell of a coach. He proved it last year when he got the Crimson Tide, which is traditionally not a good basketball program, into the NCAA tournament. They beat LSU twice last year. Hell, they beat Kentucky to start the season. And LSU, for whatever reason, struggles on the road in two places when it comes to the basketball team. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Gainesville, Florida. Their next two games are both on the road in those locations. LSU cannot afford to slip up and let a game get away from them. They have to make sure to be focused, have the energy in the first half, because if they try to play around and have to come from behind against the likes of an Avery Johnson coach team, they're going to put themselves in trouble and possibly drop a game and cost themselves a shot at the SEC regular season crown and SEC tournament top seed. We're going to talk more about this matchup with our first guest of today. He is the voice of Tuscaloosa's longest-running sports talk radio show, The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 102.9. Let's welcome back to the Rap Game, Ryan Fowler. Ryan, how are you this morning, brother?
Man, good morning. Good morning. Certainly, basketball game. It's going to be a big one. Tomorrow inside Coleman Coliseum, I guess they're going to be serving like chicken and waffles and trying to get people to go in and make that a hostile environment. You know, that's probably one advantage. If this game was a couple of hours later, you know, it might be, you know, a little bit more rowdy, but I don't know how rowdy it'll be at 11 o'clock in the morning. I think some areas will be, but, you know, Alabama sort of found a little bit of momentum, I guess, going back. Beating Vanderbilt, which is, you know, obviously a bad basketball team, with their success this year, or lack thereof. And then beating South Carolina on the road, which I don't think anybody, I do a score prediction contest here in Tuscaloosa, and it took us, we do a 4-hour show, took us 2 hours and 35 minutes for somebody to take Alabama to beat South Carolina. If that gives you any example, nobody really thought, limited number of people thought that they would actually go there and perform well, and they did. Got a 68-62 win, and, you know, this team's got a lot of potential. They're just very inconsistent. So, you know, you don't ever know what's going to show up tomorrow inside Coleman Coliseum.
Ryan, first of all, I don't know how amped up any crowd's going to be with serving chicken and waffles. That sounds awesome. Yes. It sounds like that's going to put me into a coma as well. So that may backfire there on the Crimson Tide. But I'm interested. I feel like I should make a road trip right now and plan to come over for that, because I would come to that game. I'd come to watch basketball if I had chicken and waffles on the menu as well. You mentioned the South Carolina game. Yeah, it was a big 68-62 win for the Crimson Tide, brother. Anything the Tide did against the Gamecocks the other day that could give the Tigers trouble on Saturday?
Well, I don't know if it'll give trouble, but, I mean, you just got to go back to that game and you look at guys like Riley Norris, and even guys who didn't give you a lot of points, I thought played well. You know, you go back and you kind of look at John Petty and you say, okay, you know, he didn't give you a ton as far as points. Yeah, he averages 10. He was about half his average, but he was physical. He was able to play, and they didn't have as many turnovers, which has been a problem for this team. Now, early on, they didn't shoot free throws very, very well, but I think they kind of, you know, cleaned that up, which they're not a great free throw team. I mean, they almost have like the Shaq attack up here. You know, teams like, to me, you know, if you're coming in, take your chances. If it looks like it's a free layup or they're driving to the basket and it looks like some easy points or a high percentage shot, take your chance, man. Send them to the line, you know, if you're the opposing team. But it's the part that is just the unknown is which team is going to show up. You know, you got to go back. I mean, a couple of Saturdays ago when Florida came to town, you know, Alabama was projected to beat those guys. And they struggled. And they struggled big. So, you know, what I mean, we're talking about 71-53 inside Coleman Coliseum. So which team's going to show up? That's the question, because the minute this team sort of gives you that, okay, here they go, okay, they're going to reach their potential, you know, somebody's going to develop as a leader, then it's like they drift away. And so they're as inconsistent as any team, you know, that I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen other inconsistent teams, but they're right up there. I mean, this is the team, you know, when you look back at the first game against LSU, 88-79 down there, that was following, you know, the win here against Kentucky. But it's like they get on these streaks and just inconsistent play. And, you know, I don't know. When I look at Avery Johnson, man, I'm a huge fan of him. And I know he's from your state. When you talk about his connections back there, high energy, you're around his – you know, it's contagious when you're in the room with him, because he's a fun guy to be around. But I don't know, you know, he's second highest paid coach in the SEC, 15th overall. I don't know if that salary is equaling the results that maybe Alabama fans are hoping for.
We're talking with Ryan Fowler. He's the voice of Tuscaloosa's longest-running sports talk show, The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 102.9, helping us preview Saturday's LSU versus Alabama men's basketball game. Pre-game show can be heard right here on 103.7 The Game at 10:30 a.m., tip at 11. Ryan, tell me a little bit about, you know, how much different is the team that started the season upsetting Kentucky and then losing to LSU to the one that's going to take the court inside Coleman Coliseum tomorrow?
Well, in some ways, you know, they're better. Kyra Lewis has started playing with some confidence, but you also, I mean, when you're having a look, leadership is where I think this team, like, when you look at this team, I don't see like a definite, that's your guy. That's the guy, you know, that's going to be the leader. I mean, yeah, I mean, you could look at some of the upperclassmen, the veterans there, because this team does have a lot of experience, but it seems, I guess, Kyra Lewis, to me, I think is the biggest difference, is he's gained that confidence by going, okay, I can be the point, you know, go-getter for this team. And, you know, I think he's a superstar in the making. But early on, I think there was lacking that they've been able to find that. But it seems like maybe what's different about this team is Avery Johnson was still experimenting with a lot of different things. And really, as of, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he was experimenting with a lot of different starting lineups and trying to rotate. It seems that they've cut that down, even practice time, trying to get maybe eight guys ready than a bigger rotation. So maybe that helps him a little bit. So maybe the roster from a starting standpoint or a rotation standpoint is probably a little bit further ahead than where they were at the beginning.
Ron, you also talked about how this has been an up-and-down season for him, and there's been kind of a lack of leadership you know, 17-11 overall. They are better there in Tuscaloosa, 10-2 there inside of Coleman. But could part of this be the fact that they don't have a guy as talented as Colin Sexton on the roster?
Oh, sure.
I mean, that guy was a lottery pick, and Alabama's not known to having many of those in its basketball history. I mean, is it just simply not having Colin Sexton around, who seemed to have a very good relationship and connection with what Avery Johnson wanted to do?
Well, I think Colin Sexton did a lot for this program. He gave the stamp of approval. You benefit from having program, you know, players like that comes through your program, knowing that, hey, you know, you can go through and you can manage that and you can have success. But, you know, the problem is we had a lot of spectators last year for Colin Sexton. And some of those spectators were his own teammates. Because I mean, think about it. You just sit there and watch this guy do what he does. I mean, it's kind of like when Michael Jordan had the ball. You sort of kind of watch that. And you want to see the awesome plays. So I think in a lot of ways it helped Alabama. But I think in some ways, you know, you created a lot of spectators with what Colin Sexton was able to do. And I think they were probably looking to replace him and kind of, you know, snapping their fingers, trying to get everybody's attention back, you know, after he departs. But, I mean, listen, there's no way that you can criticize what he meant to the program. I mean, you know, 1 year, whether you're for the one and done, you know, he made a great impact and gave Avery Johnson that stamp of approval that he needed for the recruiting world.
Ryan, we'll wrap it up with this. Alabama is definitely a team firmly on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. Obviously, a win against LSU would definitely help their cause, maybe even lock up a spot, even though they have two more games. I want to say they also have to play Auburn still. But would a loss on Saturday against the number 13 team in the country, would that seal their fate of not getting into the tournament, or do you still think they have a chance regardless of what happens Saturday inside of Coleman Coliseum?
All right. Let me defer to the experts. I had Jerry Palm on a couple of days ago from bracketology expert from CBSSports.com. He said this game is one of those, okay, so if you win against LSU, it kind of gives you a little bit of, you know, margin of error that's increased. If you lose this game, then that really puts pressure on you to win, you know, Auburn Tuesday night at home and then next Saturday in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which has been a tough place to play history-wise for Alabama out of Bud Walton. So when you look at the LSU game, it's one of those that if you win, it gives you a little flexibility because, you know, we know these selection people. And really, I think the other part is helping Alabama is there's some bubble teams that have not done quite well. And Jerry Palm told us, he goes, if they win, you know, they go 2-1 of these final three games, that he feels that they're in. So if you beat LSU, you may get a little margin of error against Auburn and stay at Arkansas against the Razorbacks. But if you lose this one, it kind of puts pressure on you maybe to win. So there's a lot riding on this game. And listen, there's a lot of excitement here. I mean, it's a, you know, not only just push for the students to get involved, but I know the athletic department is putting a, you know, big social network out there. They're trying to encourage people to get there, you know, make this a hostile environment, make it a home, you know, court advantage for these guys. And but also understanding that on Saturday, you know, it's one of the top basketball teams coming into Coleman Coliseum. And I think that, you know, Alabama will rise to the occasion. I don't know who's going to win the game. I don't really have a prediction. But I expect, you know, it's going to be a sluggish at beginning, and Alabama will probably be inconsistent as they always do. But maybe they'll have a chance to keep this game close, if not have a chance to win it late in the game.
Ryan, appreciate you making some time for us, brother, and enjoy Saturday's game, and especially enjoy them chicken and waffles, my man. I'm jealous.
Hey, it sounds like it's a great thing. I don't know if I've ever had chicken and waffles at a basketball game, but maybe this will be the first.
And hopefully this will be maybe a start of a tradition. Let's get that going, brother. Look, I appreciate you making some time for us. Enjoy the game and have a terrific weekend, Ryan.
Hey, no doubt, man. Thank you guys so much. Have a great one. Thank you, sir.
That was the first sir we got here in the Rab game with RP3 history.
Wow. I'm just glad we didn't get a roll tied between the two of you. I was waiting for it. I was going to shut down this whole operation.
He's just going to leave. Just going to quit.
Yeah, this whole train was going to get derailed.
Be like, we already started getting all of our gifts for the wedding. I don't need this job.
Right. Speaking of, I did get y'all a gift. Thank you very much. Kaylee loves the little art picture things. They're amazing. Good job.
That was all my wife.
Thank you, Miss Tina.
There we go. When we come back, it'll be time for some Louisiana wrap-up right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game.
Let's put the spotlight on the boot. It's time for the Louisiana wrap-up.
Rap Game with RP3 coming back at you right now live from the 237 Roof Studios. And you heard it. Time for the Louisiana wrap-up. And we're going to start today right here at home in Lafayette, specifically in the Cajun Dome. Raymundo, fill me in.
The Raging Cajuns men's basketball team has turned a corner. We've been waiting for it. They have now had five very strong performances overall. The defense seems to be working, and it showed up last night in the 83-70 win over Coastal Carolina. They now are 17-11 overall, but more importantly, they have climbed in the Sun Belt rankings. They were tied with Coastal. Now they move up a spot. They're above 500 in Sun Belt play, and they only have a few games to go. Big performance, as we've seen throughout the entirety of the Sun Belt slate of games for the Raging Cajuns, is Jakeenan Gant. Once Malik Marchetti got hurt in that final game of the non-conference schedule against Southeastern, Jakeenan Gant has taken over. He had 29 points last night, but he also had some help, which has been key for them. Cedric Russell, second-year player out of Peabody Magnet in Alexandria, guard, he chipped in with 14. And then Marcus Stroman, who's had, admittedly, an up-and-down season, he chipped in with 13 points. That avenges that 96-79 stunning loss on the road a few weeks ago that kind of derailed them and put them in a little bit of a three-game losing skid. Up next for the Cajuns is Sunday, which is going to be senior day inside the Cajun Dome, the final game of the regular season at home for the team. That's going to be, I want to say, at 1 o'clock versus App State, another team that had defeated them earlier in the season. So the Cajuns continue to build up momentum heading into the Sun Belt Conference tournament down in New Orleans.
Let's head over to the other L.A. now, Los Angeles. Time to go that direction and talk about a former guy that played football in the boot. Andrew Whitworth. What do you got, Ray?
Big Whit is coming back for one more year. He's going to hold off retirement at least one more season. It was announced earlier this week, kind of flew under the radar with everything else that was going on the national stage, that the 37-year-old left tackle, Louisiana native, multiple state champion, LSU national champion, LSU All-American, and longtime Pro Bowl All-Pro left tackle would be coming back for one more season. One-year deal to come back for the Rams. Obviously, he helped solidify that offensive line for the Los Angeles Rams, which has helped make them into one of the best teams in the NFC. And he was questioning whether or not he was going to retire following the Super Bowl loss. But Big Wit, one of the best guys in the game, one of the best guys to come out of the state of Louisiana, has decided he's got one more year left in him. So Big Wit coming back for one more year for the Rams.
And we've got one more stop to make on this Louisiana wrap-up. And it's back right here at home in Lafayette. But this time, not at the Cajun Dome. Where are we at?
It's track and field talk. That's right. Terrific performances at the Sunbelt Conference Indoor Championships for a pair of freshmen. Hans Berger from Germany and Reagan Lelou, former Catholic High of New Iberia star. They each earned Sunbelt Conference Indoor Track and Field Freshman of the Year honors in a vote by the league's head coaches that was released on Thursday. The duo helped the Raging Cajuns to their best performance in recent years, with the men's team finishing fourth overall and the women's team having their best finish since 2015, finishing eighth overall. So a terrific start to their careers in the indoor season, earning Freshman of the Year honors. Now they head over to outdoor. So congratulations to those Raging Cajun freshman stars.
Sweep in there. Good job.
When we come back, we're going to welcome on the stand-up comedian, the podcast extraordinaire, the die-hard Houston Rockets, Houston Astros, Houston Texans, Houston whatever, Chipotle.
H-Town, baby.
H-Town, baby, is going to be in the house. Patrick McClellan will be joining us here on the Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parse III, here on 103.7 The Game, your home with the LSU Tigers, broadcasting live, as always, from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. It's time to go out, back out to the Artco Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He wears many hats. He's a stand-up comedian. He's the host of The Shift on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, as well as the host of the number one Astros podcast, Lima Time Time. Let's welcome back to the Rap Game, Patrick McClellan. Patrick, how are you this morning, brother?
You left off known criminal off my list of my accomplishments. I'm a known criminal.
And, well, see, I was going to try to throw in and known guy who still has his punch card for Chipotle as well, because, you know, I hear Chipotle is a big deal there in Houston.
It should be a big deal anywhere it's at, I think. Right? Is it not made it to Louisiana?
Oh, it's here. It's here, man. It's here. I was always
just don't like it. As y'all just hate it. Oh, y'all hate Chipotle. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, look, we hate the Chipotle, and you hate the Pelican, the state bird of Louisiana.
I do. It's a little unfair, but I guess it's what it is. All right, we'll just agree to just nod heads and go separate ways on this one.
Actually, you know, if I'm going over when I lived and worked in Beaumont, Patrick, I was a big fan of Freebirds. Do you like Freebirds?
See, I prefer Freebirds.
There we go.
To Chipotle.
Yes, I do as well. Yeah, because when I go to Freebirds, I get an 18-pound burrito.
I do not like free birds. I like we should imprison all birds.
That's right. Once again, the hatred of the Pelican. I understand. Patrick, brother, let's get right to it, man. Look, your Rockets are currently the number 5 seed in the Western Conference standings, brother, but they're only a game and a half back of both the Portland Trail Blazers and the OKC Thunder. We'll start off with that. How important is it for the Rockets to be the 3 seed heading into the playoffs?
It's pretty inconsequential as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's important at all.
Why you say that?
I say that because the only thing you have to do to make it to the NBA Finals is beat the Warriors at some point. So whether you play them in the second round, the third round, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You got to beat who's in front of you. The seeding is not important to me.
Do you feel like this year's team, and I know Chris Paul is missed a considerable amount of games, and they had some turnover from last year's team that pushed the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Do you feel like that experience has just built in confidence with the beard and others, where they're just like, hey, you know what, regardless if we're the 5, 4, 3, or 6, it doesn't matter. We know what it takes to not only win in the playoffs, but to push the Warriors. You think that's the mindset of this year's team?
I don't know if it's the mindset of the entire team. I think James might think that.
Okay.
And maybe some of the way he's been having to play this season maybe has empowered him. I don't know. They're not shooting well at all. They're not scoring. They're a mid-level scoring team. They're shooting really terribly from threes, which is what they live and die by, but they still shoot a bunch of them. So I don't really know if this team has an identity. I still think that they put it all together, they're potentially, a giant killer and a possible champion, but I haven't seen them put it all together.
Your boy last night went off the beard, 58 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, another tremendous year. And once again, he is in the MVP conversation. But let me ask you this, and I know it's going to be hard for you not to rep H-Town, my friend, but can you make a legitimate case for either the Greek Freak or Paul George to be this year's MVP over your boy the Beard?
This is not any kind of homerism, because I think both of those guys are having great years, especially Jonathan. Paul George is having a really good year too, but I think with the season that Harden and the Greek Freak are having, that I don't think that he can maybe get over that hump. I just don't see how anybody other than Harden can get that award, considering that if he didn't play, the Houston Rockets are a 20-win team. I mean, seriously, they don't. I mean, some of those games where he was putting up, 50 points, 48 points, they were barely winning. He had to do that. He had to put that kind of output out just to keep them in games. So, I mean, most valuable player this year than most. I mean, he's just been incredible. People still hate him, but I don't get it. And I get to watch him day in and day out. But James Harden is the greatest offensive player I've ever watched, by far. He's incredible.
I don't know why
he's so polarizing.
Well, I think I don't think it has anything to do with his game or the fact that he's the Beard. I think probably it's collateral damage for having publicly dated a Kardashian. That's just my thought.
Yeah, everybody loves Travis Scott. Everybody loves Lamar Odom. I hope he's okay.
Hope he's okay, he says. I love how he throws that in. I hope Lamar's okay.
We don't know if he is or not.
Isn't Lamar Odom going to the Big Three? I guess he's okay. I think he's been in the, what they call it, the pool of players. Him and Agent Zero are going to be tearing it up in the Big Three.
I love that that hasn't gone bankrupt yet, because it's fun to watch really good players not play that hard. It's fun.
So it's like the Pro Bowl for basketball.
I really did watch a few games where it's just like, I mean, it's not, there's no intensity or anything, but you watch good shooters pull up from 50 feet and stuff, and there's one of the teams has a ghost for a logo dribbling a basketball, so that's pretty cool.
We're on with our good friend Patrick McClellan. He's a stand-up comedian, host of The Shift on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Look, man, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, but what are your thoughts on the absolute dumpster fire that was and has been the New Orleans Pelicans / Anthony Davis / LeBron James / Los Angeles Lakers trade drama?
God, that must have been a lot to go through. I think that it's a sad thing for the city of New Orleans, is what I think. That franchise is going to fold. And I don't mean they're going to completely lose it, but man, it's just tough. I don't know. It seems like there's nothing you can do about it now.
Yeah,
but, he's done. He checked out. So I don't know what they could have done to keep Davis. And then you have all the. How come the Lakers are always involved in all these commissioner shutdown trades and all these little sneaky deals? We gotta look into that. Is what we need to look into. The tampering. I'm tired of LeBron tampering. He's up to something. Anthony's up to something. You know what? We need to just open a whole investigation up, if we're being honest.
Open up the whole investigation. Maybe.
Yeah, we just have to see what's going on. Yeah, just don't. I don't know. I don't trust it.
I also feel I have a theory that I haven't shared on the radio yet here, Patrick. I feel that this whole thing of trying to get Anthony Davis to come to the Lakers has nothing to do with winning a championship for LeBron in La La Land. It's all because he wants Anthony Davis to be there to film Space Jam 2.
Yeah, It's possible. That's another thing I'm not too excited about.
I knew you would.
Like
be.
I mean, come on. Like, we just don't need that. It's nothing. And here is a little hot take for you. The original Space Jam is a piece of garbage movie. I don't know why people hold it in such high regard and they just talk about it with such nostalgia. I don't see Bugs Bunny play anybody at a bunch of cartoon aliens in basketball. It's really bad. It's a bad movie. It's not good.
The best part of that movie for me is Bill Murray, because I'll watch him in anything.
Yes.
And the second best part is watching Sean Bradley speak, which is in itself an act of God.
That's hilarious. I forgot about that. He did actually speak. Hopefully they'll do some, you know, they'll get creative with the plot and, you know, maybe.
No, they won't.
LeBron will lose. And they'll come back for Space Jam 3, and it'll just be a whole thing.
Or he'll announce. Wouldn't it be great if he made like his own like decision, like another decision?
Yeah, he plays the monster. He goes to the Monstars, and then Steph Curry shows up and starts and wins, and he's the hero.
Yes. Oh, look, brother. Let's switch over to the gridiron for a moment, man.
I love the idea of Steph Curry being like the secret hero of Space Jam 2. LeBron loses.
Yes. It'd be hilarious.
let's switch over to the gridiron for a moment, man. The rumor mill has been churning about your Houston Texans being a landing spot for not one but two soon-to-be former Pittsburgh Steelers in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. As a fan and as a guy who works there in the city, who do you want for the Texans? And by the way, it's okay to say neither.
Neither is my answer. Neither is my answer. I don't need either of them, honestly. Now that being said, if something gets worked out and Anthony Brown is on the other side of DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson throwing the football, I'm not going to be upset about it. And that also goes for Le'Veon Bell being in the backfield. If it happens, I guess I'll deal with it. These bad guys. No, I don't want either of them. I don't think the Texans need either of them. The scary thing is all of the cap space or the money Indianapolis has to spend. Now I do not need to see AB getting thrown the ball by Andrew Luck, and I don't need to see Le'Veon Bell in the backfield in Indianapolis. That's what I'm worried about.
Patrick, to that point, we had a Indianapolis Colts beat writer on the show earlier this week, and I asked him the same thing because the rumor mill's been about them, and he says that their GM is not about getting the splashy free agent. Like, he'll rather spend money on getting a veteran under-the-radar linebacker or lineman, but he's not going to want to have someone like A.B. or Le'Veon Bell there. They're all about, like, the work ethic and guys that aren't distractions. So even though you're a diehard Texans fan, I understand – you don't want Andrew Luck to have all those weapons. I just don't see those guys ending up in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that they're headed there. I just know they have the money. So any time that there's that money available, you're going to talk to players. There's a chance. You never know. So who knows? But yeah, I just don't want to see that going there. We don't need them to get any better. Have to deal with that. That's just me being a hater is what it is.
But
Sue's out there, and you got pass rushers out there. There's free agents that are out there that you can go get. My answer is I don't ruin either of them. But if they happen to put on that uniform, I'm not going to be against it.
We're talking to Patrick McClellan. He's a host of the number one Astros podcast, Lima Time. Let's stay on football. The Texas legend himself, John Football, Johnny Manziel, has been barred from the CFL and is already being rumored to land in the Alliance, brother, possibly in San Antonio. Your thoughts on that, and do you think he will ever become a successful professional quarterback?
No, he will not. He just can't put it together. He just can't put it together. I don't know. Yeah. He's been pretty much down the entire time. Every time he's been a quarterback, he's in trouble. It's all this. It's just a tumultuous career for Johnny Football. He's caught lightning in the bottle, and that's what got him the chance. But he's never really done anything, ever.
No, I mean, what, you know? he beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa, and then didn't they beat Oklahoma?
That's the Lightning, in
the Cotton Bowl, and that's but that both happened the first year. That was 2012 when he was the starter.
Right, and that's the last time he's done anything ever. So, I mean, yeah, and then it was just then you had the drug problems and the off the field stuff. I don't mind him getting a shot in one of these hilarious leagues. I know he can't play in the XFL because, you know, McMahon was very very adamant about the no crooks. He's like, no crooks are allowed, especially Johnny Manziel. But, yeah, he's banned. I mean, why is he banned from Canada? That's the question I want to know. I think, what did he do? He's up to something up there. See, he's still a criminal. You can't trust him. He's probably floating around on one of those big flamingo floats, and he's wearing visors upside down. We just need to close the case on Johnny Football.
I wish him the best.
He's
wearing sunglasses at night for no good reason.
Of course he is. Oh yeah, he definitely is. It'd be fun to watch him play. And if he had it, you know, he gets it back. He was fun. He was so fun to watch when he was on because he was just a guy that made plays. But I don't know. Like, you get to a certain point where that just doesn't work with a certain level of football player. You can't just run around and sneak out of everything like you could in college. So I just don't. He's still young. I don't know, man. I'm over it. Sorry to hear about him. His podcast is good though. Check out his podcast. Pretty enjoyable. That's about it. So shout out to Johnny Football.
Patrick, let's talk baseball, brother. You know, all off season, the narrative was that teams weren't shelling out the big money deals, the long contracts, right? That's what we heard. It's a new MLB. That's all we heard. Then Machado gets his $300 million from the Padres. And then Bryce Harper and his mane of hair and his bat flipping and his .271 batting average got $330 million from the Phils. Why is everyone trying to be the Yankees from a decade plus ago?
I honestly think that they're both of those players are worth those contracts. I don't necessarily like the some of the terms in the Harper deal just for on both sides. But I mean, you're gonna have to pay Harper more than Stanton. But Stanton already had the when he was at 325 or 320 something. I think 325.
Yeah.
He's getting paid. And Bryce Harper, I'm on the record of saying I do not like him. He wears bandana and sleeveless shirts, and he's Cobra Kai. I don't trust it, and I don't trust anybody like from Las Vegas. So I don't like him. But he is he's been last year aside, and so productive, and is a possible generational talent. So you lock him down. You lock him down, and Philadelphia is set up to possibly set up a little dynasty there. I mean, it's good. It's good. So I don't necessarily think the owners weren't spending. I think that these were big deals and these were complex contracts, and they had to work some stuff out. And that's what it was. That the longer it took for them to get signed, people start speculating and they're dolls. They're not giving it out. No, that's not what it was. They're just complex contracts, and it is what it is.
As a lifelong Atlanta Brave fan, I'm okay with this deal because as great as Harper is, he presses a lot, Patrick. He just presses in big moments, and he's always been that way. And I can't wait to see how he reacts because they babied him a little bit in D.C. because they were just so happy to have a star. Philadelphia is another beast, and they will turn on you, and they will cut you in the parking lot in a heartbeat, brother. And I just don't know if Harper has the mindset to deal with that, especially because the expectations are going to be, bruh, you're getting paid $330 million?
Yeah.
You better bring us World Series titles.
Yeah, it's on your back. You have to win multiple World Series titles, and you have to be not just productive, but, a superstar. But, that Philadelphia, that's a different animal. So, yeah, so he'll be wearing his sleeveless shirts. The fans will be wearing their sleeveless shirts from Slayer or some other some stupid bands in the 80s. And then, all the sleeveless guys will get together and they'll hang out in a parking lot or whatever you do in Philadelphia. I don't know. So, good luck to him. I think that's a valid point.
And look, Patrick,
it's going to be on him. It really is. And the Phillies had a great offseason, so everybody's going to be looking at them as it is, and then it goes even, the microscope goes even further in on him. So best of luck.
But I will wrap it up with this with you, brother. If Bryce Harper is worth $330 million, then how much is Mike Trout worth?
Whatever he asked for. Literally whatever he asked for.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, whatever he wants, yeah, well, okay, let's go blank check. Give him the blank check, and just like the movie, and he can install a slide from the upstairs like that kid did.
Yes, yes. The reincarnation of Mickey Mantle is going to want whatever he wants. Whatever number he's going to pick, teams are going to line up for him.
Absolutely.
He's a far better overall player than Harper is. But that's a discussion for another day, brother. Patrick, I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you making time for us, brother. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Sure. Got it.
Patrick McClellan. Get him this baseball, football, basketball, and even Chipotle talk. We get it all with Patrick. We'll wrap up the first hour of Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game. Study long, study wrong. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parks III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. Give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We'll try to fit you in today if you want to talk about anything in the sports world here as we enter the weekend. But just a reminder, guys, today, starting at 4, you can join our good brother Ben Love in Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Ruffino's on the River. It's your big chance to meet Ruffin Roderick, LSU legend, in person. Enter to win Houston Astros tickets. They're also going to have Trev Faulk, LSU legendary linebacker and LCA championship head coach. He'll be on there as a live guest at 4:30. And you can start your weekend with beautiful scenery on the river right there. Ben Love, Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Ruffino's on the River. Make sure to go check that out. Also, tonight, after Bumper to Bumper Sports from 4 to 6:30, LSU at Texas baseball pregame 6:30, first pitch 7. It's a huge early season series for the LSU baseball team. Texas is ranked in the top 25. It's on the road there in Austin. So keep it live and local right here for that. Coming up, second hour of Rap Game, just as jam-packed as the first. We're going to lead things off with some high school basketball talk with the longtime head coach of the Westgate Tigers, Oliver Winston. His team is in the Class 4A quarterfinals tonight against Brobridge. We're going to talk about their season and their playoff matchup with Coach Winston. Coming up right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name for wasn't step on your locker.
It's Rap Game with RP3, Raymond Parks III.
One of God's own prototypes. High-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it? Yeah, we have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Welcome back to the Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parks III, here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. You give us a call today on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. Our next guest is the head boys basketball coach at Westgate High School in New Iberia, a position he has held since the school's inception in 1999. In his 20 seasons at the helm, the Tigers advanced to the state quarterfinals 5 times, have reached March Madness 3 times, including winning the 2007 Class 5A state championship. His team is back in the playoffs tonight. They'll be at Brobridge in the Class 4A quarterfinals. Let's welcome to the program Oliver Winston. Coach Winston, how are you this morning?
I can't complain. How are you doing?
Doing great, doing great. Appreciate you taking some time out for us. Definitely wanted to talk to you. I know playoffs are in high gear. You know, this season you guys went 20-9 overall during the regular season, and then you've taken care of DeRitter and Neville in the bracket so far. You'll make the short drive tonight to Breaux Bridge with a berth on the line for March Madness. You guys are trying to get there for the third straight season. Tell me a little bit about the identity or mindset of this year's team, Coach, and was there a turning point for your squad?
You know, three of the seniors, they've played since they were freshmen, so they've basically kind of guided this team and kind of made it a personal mission to try to, you know, to capture something that's evaded us in the last couple of years. So, you know, it's a group, good group of kids, hardworking kids, good students. I mean, those are always, you know, a real joy to have. And you know, we're just trying to do it as long as we can and try to make the last game the final game.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about that district that you play in. It is, you can make the argument, if not one of the top three toughest in the state, it may be the toughest. Last year, two teams from y'all's district both won state championships in Cairn Crow and STM. Talk a little bit about the grind that is the district and just the level of competition and talent that you guys have in that district.
Yeah, we have a brutal district. You're not getting through district without losing a ball game. Everybody can compete. Everybody can beat you at any time, anywhere. So we kind of take pride in the sense that if you get through district and then you're 500 or better, you know, you like your chances when the tournament comes because you've already played a variety of basketball because we have so many different styles just in our district. And the level of competition is so high. You have great athletes, great coaches. I think three of us have won state championships. You know, Danny's won multiple. So, you know, you kind of get a whole a lot of different genres and coaching styles just within our district.
Coach, the past two seasons, your team, like I said before, has advanced to Burden Coliseum over there in Lake Charles for the state semifinals, but has just fallen just a little bit short of advancing back to the state title game. What do you think this year's team has learned and can lean on from that experience from the last two seasons?
Nothing's given. You know, it's one and done. And if you have a bad night, you know, you go to your house. And last couple of years, unfortunately, I didn't think we played our best basketball that we had played during the course of the year. And, you know, we had to go home disappointed. So I think this team is really looking forward to taking care of and concentrating on tonight with Breaux Bridge. And then, you know, if the Lord bless us to get through that, then we'll start sitting down and we'll look at the next game.
We're talking to the head boys basketball coach of Westgate High School, Oliver Winston. Coach, what do you remember the most, or maybe a favorite memory from that 2017 that you had that defeated the top seed Eleanor in the title game inside the Cajun Dome?
I mean, there's a lot. I think more than anything else was to kind of see the joy in the kids' face. It's a remarkable feeling when you see kids that, you know, kind of reach that ultimate goal and what they feel and the excitement they feel. Also just, you know, our crowd, our supporters, you know, it takes a while, you know, at least for me it did. It takes a while before you kind of sit there and go, wow, okay, we pulled it off. But the crowd, our fans and all of that, the city really got behind us. And so, you know, for several weeks, several months, you know, there was always something to go to, you know, groups of people, organizations, businesses that, you know, wanted to meet the kids and stuff. So I think it's the journey. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I'll remember is just, you know, kind of that journey afterwards. So, you know, it was an exciting time.
Coach, you know, what pride did you take personally in you guys being the first high school in New Iberia to not only win a state title from the LHSAA in boys basketball, but to be the first to even reach the title game in that era?
No. I'm going to be honest. I mean, you know, if you don't have good kids and you don't have a supporting administration and fan base, you can be the greatest coach you want to be. You know, you're not going to be very successful. You're not going to get where you need to go. So for me, I always take great pride that, you know, I have good groups of kids. I've got kids that are committed. I've got kids over the years that are invested in our program. My coaching staff is incredible. And our administration is so supportive. So I think if you want to talk about take pride, it's the pride that, you know, we've kind of been very blessed to build something sustainable. You know, we weren't a one-shot wonder. And the biggest part is just, you know, players, my coaching staff, my administration, all the support we get. So, I mean, that's what I take probably the most pride in.
You know, Coach, during those early years, you know, you guys had to practice wherever you could, out at the air base or at the city park. Share with the listeners, man, those growing pains, those early days of building a program essentially from scratch and having to practice wherever you could, man.
It's kind of funny because if you want to talk about stuff I remember, I probably remember that more than anything else, past the wins. It was cool because I had a super group of kids. And, you know, we didn't have a gym. Our gym was illegal, you know, from the old way back in the day. It was Henderson High School, an all-black school in New Iberia. And so the gym was not really suitable for us to be able to have games. And then with the construction, you know, pretty much wiped it out. So we would go on the base and find a little gym. They used to have a little gym at one of the little facilities, so we'd practice in there. Sometimes that was already occupied. So we used to run to the city park, and play under the pavilion, practice under the pavilion. When we could get into the West End Park, we would practice there. Sometimes we couldn't get anywhere. And so, you know, we have these kind of tennis court type stuff. And so we just took some chalk and kind of drew, a basketball floor so we could at least run and get to the spots we needed to do and walk through stuff. So it was an adventure. It was an adventure. And I mean, I think that's kind of set the groundwork for kind of what has happened now, and the strength of our program, because all those guys still come back. Now I'm probably getting old. I'm getting a lot of their children now. So it's a great deal of pride because those guys constantly tell, you know, these newer generation, new years, you know, hey guys, this was built on hard work and just determination. And that's kind of what we've always tried to motivate and say, that's how we're going to win. You may be more talented than us, and you probably definitely have a smarter coach than we do, but you're not going to beat us on work, and you're not going to beat us on effort.
We're talking to Coach Winston of Westgate High School. He's the head boys basketball coach. The Tigers are in the Class 4A quarterfinals. They'll be playing at Brobridge tonight with a berth to March Madness in Burton Coliseum on the line. Coach, back then, you know, you're just scrapping by and kind of laying the foundation. Did you think that you would still be an immensely successful head coach and have all the accolades and have that program be a state champion 20 years later? I mean, did you even allow yourself to imagine that happening back then 20 years ago?
I don't know about some of that. All I can tell you is when I got the job, one of the things I kind of knew, because, you know, I was the head coach in general, and I was also the head coach in Market City, I always knew New Iberia had a wealth of basketball talent, because I see them in the playoffs. And when I was in Generette, we would, you know, they come to my tournament and I'd watch them. And I always was like, wow, they have, you know, quite a bit of talent. So I always felt if I had an opportunity, which I ended up getting, that the key for success is just to create something that's not local. And that's kind of how we started. Anybody that was really, really good winning state championships, I'd call them up and I'd say, hey, you know, can we schedule a game? Now, grant you, I'm talking about we got drilled, run out of gyms most of the time. But my whole point was to build a foundation that no matter who or where we needed to go, we wanted to compete at the highest level. And I think, you know, once that was established and once the kids no longer had that, you know, that wow factor when you're going to, at back in those times, it was Woodlawn or Baton Rouge that had kind of come back from back-to-back state championships, Glen Oaks, Higgins, St. Aub, Jesuit, Peabody, anybody that was really good, we go into the gym and play Washington Marion. So once the kids kind of understood and kind of saw how high that level was, it was kind of the unspoken word. We got embarrassed. We got to work this much harder to be able to compete. And so our biggest thing is just to go beyond being a good regional and local team. We wanted to establish ourselves as an earmark of one of the better programs in the state. So I always felt we could do that. It was going to be, did I have the patience? Did the administration have the patience to kind of allow us to build that? And they did. And so we're really blessed to be where we are.
Coach, you've been doing this quite a long time, you know, 20 years now at Westgate. But before then, like you said, you coached at Generette for a time in Morgan City. Is it, you know, you hear people talk, it's difficult. It's more difficult these days to be able to coach kids. But I know talking to some coaches, they say no to that. They say they just have to adjust. You've been doing this for so long. Is it really that much different coaching kids today as it was, say, 20, 25, 30 years ago?
Yes. Different, without doubt. Harder, not in my opinion. Kids are going to be kids. Now, at the end of the day, the same problems we had when we were kids are the same problems that our kids have today. There's some outside things that have affected how our kids look at things, which is social media. So, you know, we didn't have that. I mean, if something happened in Denver, Colorado, you know, we didn't know that. But now our kids know almost worldwide events that are occurring, good and bad. So with all of that knowledge, it has, in my opinion, has shrunk their capacity to pay attention because everything is so quick. And so as a coach, in order to understand what's happening in the environment and then translate that to how you deal with kids, I think my coaches do a great job. We really, really push hard to what I call Snapchat of coaching because we do it in installments. You know, I think back in the day, I could sit a team down and I could put in a whole practice schedule and game planning and all of that, and they'd sit there for an hour or 2 hours while we installed everything. Well, I don't think kids now have won everything right now. So we do it in Snapchats. We do it quick. We do everything, you know, within 5 to 10 minutes. You know, here's what we want you to do on this particular situation. So we just chop it up and we make it real, real quick. But overall, like discipline, things like that, respect and things like that. No, I don't think it's more difficult now than it was then. I just think you have to get their information to them in short spans of time and in a way in which they can understand it or what's common to them. I think that's probably the biggest challenge is just, I mean, we have a phone policy. I mean, there's a certain time on game days we collect everybody's phone so we can get their attention. So, you know, those kind of things I didn't have a problem with 25, 28 years ago. But as coaches, if you're going to stay in the game for a very long time, you have to know what is the trend, and you have to be able to understand it. You may not like it, but you have to understand it because if you don't, you're probably not going to speak the same language or have the same things that you need your kids to understand. You won't be able to get it to them. Because communication is the biggest thing. As long as I communicate with them, as long as what I'm saying they understand, and I'm saying it in a language they do understand. I know it sounds like, you know, they speak foreign languages, but sometimes they kind of do because of the way they communicate with each other. So I think that's the biggest change as a coach. Instead of being able to do stuff for an hour and a half, you know, I've got to do it in a very short span of time. And then I just repeat it over and over and over and over. But it's all real, real, real short in time. And the kids, I think, receive that. But I mean, I make them send me game planning stuff because they're on the phone all the time. So they each have assignments, and they have to look up those assignments, and then they have to send me what they found. And again, you're using what they use every day, but you're using it in a way that's going to be hopefully beneficial for what you're trying to teach them.
Coach Winston, I appreciate you making the time for us. It was a privilege to have you on the air. And best of luck to you and your squad tonight and everything moving forward. Thank you so much for making time for us, Coach.
I appreciate you having us. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Coach Oliver Winston, Westgate Boys Basketball in the Class 4A quarterfinals tonight at Bro Bridge. When we come back here on Rap Game with RP3, it'll be time for some RPOs with yours truly right here on 103.7 The Game.
Blue poncho.
Shotgun formation. Cody snaps the questions.
Dre.
And RP3 makes the reads. This is RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho.
We're back. Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game, coming at you as always from the 237 Roof Studios. And it's that time of the week again, Friday. RPOs coming at you, Raymond. So if you're ready, we're going to start with a little LSU hoops talk. And I've got to pose it this way for you. RPO on this for me. LSU hoops will be a higher seed in the NCAA tournament. I know we're looking ahead, but that's all right. LSU hoops will be a higher seed in the NCAA tournament than at least one of either Kentucky or Tennessee.
Ooh. I'm going to take an option here because I have to see how Saturday plays out. Not only for LSU, hopefully not going to be dropping a game on the road when they still have everything in front of them, but more importantly, Kentucky and Tennessee play again on Saturday. The winner of that game will be in the driver's seat to possibly get a 2 seed, which means that's going to be more than likely higher than LSU. The loser of that game will fall back. But my concern, while also taking an option here, Cody, is I want to say in a lot of the bracketology predictions and brackets, both Kentucky and Tennessee are still higher seeds than LSU.
Right.
Like Kentucky's a borderline 1 seed, and Tennessee's still a 2 seed with LSU being right now only a 3. So I'm going to take an option. We can readdress this issue next week.
Fair enough. Now we're going to move on to some college baseball talk. I love college baseball, Raymond. RPO for me. UL baseball is going to have a better weekend at home against Maryland than the Tigers will have on the road against the Texas Longhorns.
That's tough.
Texas Longhorns, a top 20 team.
Top 20 team. We've seen them up close and personal. I watched them. They took 2 of 3 from UL to start the season right there at the Teague. But I'm going to pass. I think LSU has the better weekend series. I think they'll take 2 of 3 from Texas, and they'll win that series. There's still a lot of question marks when it comes to the Raging Cajuns. That bullpen and Gunnar Leje. You know, how healthy is Gunnar Leje? How far can he go into this weekend series against the Terps from Maryland? But the bullpen has been an issue for the Raging Cajuns. So as it stands right now, I'm going to pass. I think LSU has the better weekend series.
It's interesting because, you know, UL baseball is struggling, but they've got Maryland, which is not as good as Texas, at least as far as the polls are concerned.
Correct.
Coming to the Cajuns, while we've got LSU traveling to a top 20 team in Texas, and they're going to Austin, and yet LSU still having a better weekend. If that ends up being the case, then UL baseball really, really might be in a little bit of trouble.
Well, once again, if the bullpen bounces back, look, if the bullpen doesn't give up 4 runs, the Cajuns' record would already be far better. So if Tony Robichaud and his staff, and they've worked magic before, and they'll do it again.
Yeah.
If they've done something during the week and they can work some magic and get those guys not to give up big leads, the talent and the experience that they have, they should take 2 or 3 from Maryland. But the way the bullpen has performed so far does not give me the confidence that they will be able to do that. I have to see it first.
Fair enough. Let's wrap up RPOs here with some NFL Combine talk because it is in full swing right now. 6 LSU guys are participating in the Combine. Today, Nick Brossette and Cole Tracy are going to go. Saturday, Foster Moreau's going. Sunday will be Devin White. And then Monday, it's going to wrap up with John Battle and Greedy Williams. Now, who I want to point out right now is place kicker Cole Tracy. He is a dog. He is the man. He is participating today in both the bench press
and the 40-yard dash. Why? Who the hell knows? Cole Tracy just feels like getting the full experience, I guess. RPO Raymond, that the kicker, Cole Tracy, will be the most impressive Tiger at the Combine.
I run with that.
Yes!
I run with that because everyone knows that Devin White is an alpha male.
He's a dog.
He's a dog, right? And I love how both of us made it very country when we talked about White.
Devin White.
Devin White's a dog. You know Greedy Williams is
a dog.
Is a dog. Foster Moreau's already been turning heads back at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
He's already impressing teams that way, so I'm not going to be as surprised. But don't be surprised if Cole Tracy is the one of the six that gets the most headlines for his... The guy's doing bench press in 40 times. Like,
best.
He wants to
He's
show the
kicker.
NFL teams. He's like, you know what? I can kick 52-yard field goals with these guys, but check this. This is what I'm also going to bring to you. I like jacking people up on special teams with my strength and my speed.
If you want to, kicker or a punter laying out somebody on the other team, draft me.
Cole Tracy wants to be the Sean Taylor of place kickers in the NFL, and God love him for it.
That's the best.
So, yes.
Good luck to all those guys, though, regardless. Good luck to
all
them.
And it's a great, it's an interesting process, to say the least.
I saw it on Twitter. Somebody said it's just an interview on steroids.
Yes, the Underwear Olympics, as we used to call them. When we come back, we're going to dive deeper. We got the Alabama perspective for Saturday's game between LSU and Bama. We're going to get the LSU perspective from our good friend, Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag. He's going to join us after this break right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game. Welcome.
It's Kanye. You know he likes to do weird things with his music. Don't blame me. It's Kanye. It's the real deal. It's Kanye. And what do you mean to do?
Oh, man. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parse III, here on 103.7 The Game. You're home for the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. Our next guest we're bringing on is the one and only Tyler Nunez from Tiger Rag. He's going to help us break down this LSU at Alabama game on Saturday. Pre-game show can be listened to live right here on 103.7 The Game at 10:30. Tip at 11. The Tigers only have 3 games left. They are in the driver's seat to claim the SEC regular season championship. They already locked up the double bye for the conference tournament, but they can't afford to drop a game here or there. Starting off this Saturday at Alabama. Tyler, welcome back to the Rap Game, brother. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man. New 2 Chainz album, new Solange Knowles album. I'm rocking out this morning.
My man is in heaven, is what he's trying to tell us. Tyler, let's go back and recap. Great victory at home inside the PMAC Saturday. It was electric, sold-out crowd. Tremont Waters inexplicably can't go, undisclosed illness. We'll talk about LSU describing that in a vague sense, which caused rumor mill to go crazy. And we'll touch on that. But without Tremont Waters, sidelined with illness, Naz Reid had the worst game of his LSU career, picks up 2 quick fouls, is benched for the remaining 16 minutes of the first half and ends up with 0 points in regulation. Yet this team still pulled out the 82-80 victory over the number 5 team in the country. How were they able to do that on Saturday, brother?
That's kind of been the story of the season, right? I'm pretty sure I was openly critical of the 8-man rotation they were running on this show. It's really worked out for them, considering that most of those 8 guys, at least 7 of those 8 guys, are starting on 95% of Division I rosters. So, and Darius Days is no joke either. If he can stay out of foul trouble, he's an excellent piece. So I think it just goes to show you just how much depth this LSU team has. They have a ton of depth. They have a ton of talent. They're arguably the most one of the most talented teams in the SEC. And then the home crowd, really kind of lifted them and kept them in that game. So, they've been in close situations all season. they were right where they wanted to be on Saturday, and they pulled it out.
Let's talk about, flash forward to Tuesday night. I was there with you as well for the Tuesday night game against Texas A&M. A&M's a scrappy team, but they're not very good. They're well under 500. Once again, Waters is out for that game. Nasri has a big bounce back game, but the Tigers attacked the paint, right? And that seemed to be their plan. Initiative, right? That was their plan. They were going to attack the paint, attack the rim. A lot of dunks. The first 8 points of the game were dunks. Did that make you think, and you've followed this team all season long, Tyler, when you see that, the amount of talent that they have, this Tigers team can adjust to their opponent, right? They can, and Will Wade seems to game plan very well, analytical mind, that he can make the adjustments on how they're going to attack their opponent. How key is that for them heading into the conference tournament and then the bigger tournament, obviously, for March?
I mean, we've been seeing this all season, right? Like, they go up against all these different styles of teams, and they've been able to beat all of them. I mean, the only kind they seem to struggle with are teams that a lot of other teams seem to have the pieces to beat, like Missouri and Florida. But otherwise, they've just been able to grind out wins against every kind of team that they've been able to come across. And I think that's really impressive. That's probably the biggest value of this team, especially considering how young they are. I mean, I didn't really expect this. I thought that they would run into a lot more roadblocks, but they've been able to match up with pretty much everyone they've gone up against. And again, that goes to show you just how valuable all eight of those guys, they all have a role to play, and they all play it really well.
Can we talk about Marlon and the fact that he leaps out of the gym seemingly on every single possession?
Yeah, I mean, check out Tiger Rag Magazine. We got a new one coming out next week. Javonte Smart will be on the cover, and I've got a nice story about how Marlon Taylor can jump really high. he's such an impressive guy. I mean, that kind of athleticism is invaluable. We finally got an official vertical on him a few weeks ago. They say it's 42.5. I think that's lowballing it, if I'm being honest. Dude can hit his head on the rim. He's wildly impressive, and that really helps on both sides of the ball. He can defend anybody on the floor, and whenever he gets that full head of steam, I mean, good luck stopping him.
Tremont Waters, he gets sick. We find out afterwards on Saturday, Will Wade tells us in the postgame presser, Tyler, that he was forced to have an IV the day before. They try to make a go of it, and obviously he has some type of viral infection. He doesn't give specifics. And then we see him on the bench for Tuesday's game. He's out there in warm-ups. He's not warming up. He's just carrying around a bottle of Powerade and trying to stay hydrated. Why not? You know, the rumor mill went rampant that he had a concussion or there was something else or that he had a disagreement with the head coach. That could have all been avoided if they would have just came out and said, hey, Tremont has the flu. It is February in Louisiana. Why not just say he has the flu and be done with it? Why not do that? Why did they go the other route?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a number of reasons that they could have kind of kept that on the low. I think that, I don't know. Frankly, I don't know why Will Wade makes the decisions he makes. I'm sure he had a good reason. He must have seen some value in kind of keeping that on the low. I don't know if that was so they could keep opponents off guard. I don't know if they thought that it might be a more serious issue. I don't know. I think that it looks like he's going to be back tomorrow. He's given every indication that we're talking to him again in about an hour and a half. I'm sure we'll get confirmation on that, and I'm sure they're looking forward to having him back on the floor.
Talking to Tyler Nunez, a Tiger Rag. Tyler, let's preview Saturday's game. Will Wade even said it after Tuesday's victory over A&M about Alabama and how that's a tough opponent. He has an immense amount of respect for Avery Johnson, and that traditionally speaking, Tuscaloosa is a difficult place to play for LSU when it comes to basketball. Mm-hmm. And the same thing for Florida. Same thing playing at Gainesville as well. And those are their next two games. Alabama's been up and down. They're a bubble team, the epitome of being a bubble team for the NCAA tournament. But what kind of challenges does Alabama pose for LSU, especially there inside Coleman Coliseum?
Two words, Dont'a Hall. He's an excellent basketball player. He's really good at getting behind defenses in transition. And whenever he's around the rim, he's a very good finisher. Very long, very lengthy guy, good on defense, very excellent basketball player. And if LSU's not able to contain him, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. The good news is they've gotten a lot better in post-defense over the last few weeks since the last time they played Alabama. So I think that could help. Transition defense is really going to be a key in this game. Alabama, if they control the pace and they're running down the floor, it's tough to stop them. So getting back on defense and setting that up with good half-court offense is going to be a really big key against this Alabama team.
What kind of role do you think Javonte is going to have Saturday, Tyler, with Tremont apparently going to be coming back? Is Will Wade going to try to restrict Waters' minutes? Is Javonte still going to get a ton of playing time? How do you think that's going to shake out?
I'm not sure yet. Like, I guess we'll talk to Will Wade about that in about an hour. I think that we'll probably see Tremont kind of shift back into his original role. I think Javonte will come back off the bench. Whether or not they restrict Tremont's minutes is kind of up in the air. I think it depends on what he does in practice and how healthy he seems. But as of right now, I would assume that they play similar roles, maybe a little bit less time for Tremont and a little bit more for Javonte. And I think Marshall Graves will probably be getting a little bit more playing time moving forward as well. But other than that, I think it should be business as usual.
Talking to Tyler Nunez of Tiger Ag. Tyler, I want to ask you, because this has been asked to us by fans of the show and yeah, as well as others, is right now LSU is still projected to be a lower seed than both Kentucky and Tennessee, who they've both already
correct
defeated. And if things play out, if LSU wins out, they'll be the regular season champion of the mm-hmm SEC. Why is LSU still going to be below Kentucky and Tennessee when it comes to the seeding, do you believe? Do you have a thought on that?
Because of Will Wade's favorite word, analytics and metrics. I mean, if you look at any metric-based ranking system, Tennessee and Kentucky are both ranked higher than LSU, both due to the fact that they've beaten teams by more points and the fact that they had a tougher non-conference schedule. LSU very carefully scheduled its non-conference schedule to kind of set itself up for success, but the consequence was it didn't play a Kansas, it didn't play a Duke, it didn't play these big blue bloods that are high on the rankings right now. So it's just the way things go. I've seen Duke lose a conference championship and get a one seed over the team that won it. It's not that unusual, especially in basketball. It's also not that important. The difference between a one and a four seed in the NCAA tournament is pretty insignificant. Those seeds tend to get to the Final Four at a pretty even rate. It's not something, these rankings, I've been getting a lot of questions about rankings as well. I really wouldn't worry about it, guys. It's not that important. In basketball, as long as you show up and you win your game, it doesn't really matter what you're ranked.
Tyler, tournament's going to be coming up, the SEC tournament there in Nashville in less than 2 weeks. But here's the interesting thing, right? If I'm correct, LSU has only won the SEC tournament one time. That would have been the 81 season when they went to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I know that's going to be a big goal for Will Wade in his group, but it's not the end-all be-all. They have, higher aspirations. What do you think they have to do? And we don't know what the schedule is for the tournament, and I know they're going to be more than likely going to have to face either both Kentucky or Tennessee, or at least one of them, to get that conference championship, tournament championship, rather. What do you think they have to do here in the last few games of the regular season to build up enough momentum to be able to get that elusive conference tournament championship?
Well, they got to win, first of all. If they win these three games and get that one seed, that's the immeasurable value, because then they won't have to play Kentucky or Tennessee until the finals, because Kentucky and Tennessee are going to get the two and the three seed in that situation. So if they lose one of these games and end up the two or the three seed, then unfortunately they're going to have to probably beat both of them. I think they'd rather have to beat one of them and play a team like South Carolina in the semifinals. So I think winning these next three games is really important as far as that goes. And as far as, momentum, I think it all goes back to winning as well. I think a win against Florida would do this team a lot of good, especially as Florida being really the only team in the SEC they haven't beaten yet outside of Vanderbilt. So I think that that would be a big momentum shift as well. It comes down to winning. If you win these three games, you set yourself up nicely for the SEC tournament, which sets yourself up nicely to possibly jump yourself into a two seed.
Tyler, one more question before I let you go, brother, and it's going to be about football. Six Tigers are in Indianapolis taking part in the NFL scouting combine there at Lucas Oil Stadium. You know, you got your usual suspects, Devin White, Greedy Williams, John Battle, right, Nick Brissett. You even got Foster Moreau, who's getting some buzz based on what he did at the Senior Bowl. But your boy, Cole Tracy, kicker extraordinaire, is taking part in the bench press and the 40-yard dash. Is Cole Tracy going to be the headliner for LSU from the combine this week?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely going to be a fun story. I don't know about the headliner. Devin White, the over-under on his 40 for at Vegas is 4.55. And if he's able to beat that, that's going to make him one of the most terrifying and one of the most highly rated linebacker prospects of all time. I mean, that not only would that mean that you've got a guy who can run a 4.55 at the combo, not a juiced 4.55 like at Pro Day, at the combine. I mean, you've got a field general who has a huge high, a very high football IQ who can run a 4.55 at that size. That's freaky. So if he's able to do that, I think that'll steal the headlines. But Cole Tracy is a very, very fun. I mean, he's a fun story regardless, but the fact that he's running the 40 and doing the bench press, I'm curious to see how he does in those.
I'll wrap it up with this, Tyler. If I'm any of those other cats there at the combine, I am watching what Cole Tracy does on the bench press because there is no way in hell I'm going to let a kicker bench more than me. Because if you do, you can kiss your ticket to the NFL goodbye, because there ain't going to be a GM in the league that's going to take a linebacker or a cornerback or a wide receiver that can't bench as much as the kicker.
I don't think any of those guys really have much to worry about there, unless something goes horribly wrong. So, all of those guys are pretty strong, so I'd be surprised if they don't beat Cole Tracy. But I am curious to see how Cole Tracy does.
Tyler, brother, I appreciate you taking out the time. As always, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Sounds good.
Tyler Nunez, Tiger Rag, breaking down some LSU hoops and a little bit of LSU football. We will wrap up the rap game with RP3 with my rant of the week. It's going to be short and sweet right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
To everyone out there that has been doing their stand-up routine on social media about Bob Kraft, I'm going to ask you to stop with that nonsense right now. Because the truth of the matter is that your jokes are not only in bad taste, poor taste, it is, you're missing the point. No one needs to hear your jokes about what happened with Bob Kraft. Not because it's not embarrassing what happened to a billion-dollar owner of an NFL franchise who decided that he needed to receive sexual services in a strip mall down in Florida. What this case is doing with the charges that Bob Kraft now faces, it puts the spotlight on sex trafficking. Because this is what's occurring based on reports at that strip mall massage parlor, is that these young women were trafficked into our country, probably in freighters, in shipping containers, and were forced into performing sexual acts on whether it's a billion-dollar owner of an NFL franchise or a random guy off the street. Not only that, they were forced to live inside the salon. So, enslavement and sex trafficking isn't funny. So, keep your jokes about Bob Kraft and keep your jokes about everything else that happened down there into Florida to yourself. If you get the idea in your head that you're thinking that you're going to be funny and that you want to get a couple of retweets, don't do it. Put your phone down,
and step away, because there ain't a damn thing about this case that is funny, amusing, anything. Sex trafficking, enslavement, and being forced into performing sexual acts isn't amusing, funny, and shouldn't be tolerated. So don't be that guy. Don't be the moron. Don't be the bag that makes the Bob Kraft joke. Rant over. Now, I got that up.
You were right. Short and sweet. You're right.
Short and sweet. I didn't want to spend a lot of time about it. We have not even addressed what happened on the show all week for a reason. It doesn't warrant that type of ribbing or type of conversation. It's a serious matter. And stop making jokes. I see people that I know try to make jokes about it. Stop it. Be better than that. Be better than that. Plain and simple. Reminder. We got you covered this weekend here on 103.7 The Game. We're the home of the LSU Tigers. LSU baseball tonight, pregame 6:30, first pitch is at 7. Tomorrow, Saturday, LSU Alabama, pregame 10:30, 11 o'clock, tip-off there for the men's basketball. And then Saturday as well. After that, we'll have baseball. LSU at Texas once again, pregame 2:30, first pitch 3. And then Sunday, we'll wrap it up, LSU baseball at Texas, pregame 12:30. First pitch, 1 o'clock. Also, check out my boy, world-famous Clint D. and Cody Schutz for the producers Saturday at 10 o'clock. Also, guys, if you get a chance today, go out to Rufino's on the River. Check out my brother, Ben Love, doing bumper-to-bumper sports live there with Ruffin Rodri. Y'all be safe. Have a happy Mardi Gras, but be safe out there. Don't be stupid. Enjoy the weekend. We'll holla at you on Monday.